All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, existence. Take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, hockey season. That will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic. Follow them on all platforms. They've got you covered when it comes to your trading card needs. Yu-Gi-Oh! Digimon. Do they sell Digimon still?
Magic. I don't think they sell Digimon.
I don't think
anymore.
Digimon's a thing anymore. Pokemon, sports cards, they've got you covered. Go check them out. Zephyr Epic. Zephyr Epic also ships free anywhere in Canada from
Bella Coola to Belleville,
have
Ontario.
Have you done that one before?
No.
Oh, you? Yeah, okay. I don't think you have.
I don't know, because I got a list here. I normally cross them off right after.
You may have used Bella Coola before, but regardless.
Bella Coola is a great name. You can use that
yeah,
one twice.
I'm okay with that. You're absolutely right. Zephyr Epic ships free on any order over $50, so go check them out. We are also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli. I am joined, as always, by the man who built the place wearing shorts that actually match his t-shirt today, Chris Faber.
Yep, I'm not wearing my my orange top, my traffic cone top, as you call it.
Yep.
Shorts, it felt like today was the day to really crank them out and be out in the sun. We were expecting to go golfing today. That didn't happen.
You got the 5-inch inseam.
I don't know what that is, but
you're doing great.
Yeah. These are apparently like the Costco version of Lululemon shorts.
Oh.
They are extremely comfortable. And the thing I've noticed, I got a pair of pants too. They got these little zipper pockets.
Oh, these like
hidden
wow.
little zipper pockets on the side of your pocket. But the actual pockets, horrible. Every time I sit down, my phone falls out of my pocket.
Yeah.
My keys fall out of my pocket. It's not a good time there. But these are, I tell you, these are extremely comfortable shorts. And I'm feeling good today. Feeling good about the same as the Canucks are after a 7-1 win. That's how good I feel.
Big show today. We have a lot to talk about. Where should we start, Chris? We've got a lot here. Do you want to start on that victory over the Calgary Flames? Just get right into it.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, first of all,
we're not dicking around. On any of no preamble here?
No.
Nothing to bring up, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we have a lot here. We've got so much to talk about. So let's get into it.
Nothing, eh?
Nope. The Vancouver Canucks.
All right.
No. We're hopping into hockey talk. I just whispered into the mic. Did a little ASMR there. ASMR here on Canucks Convo. The Vancouver Canucks with a 7-1 victory over the Calgary Flames. Now, Chris, we had a little debate. I wouldn't even call it a debate, but you were ready to plan the parade after that win over the Kraken for some reason. And I pointed out that not one Canuck said, yeah, this was a good game by us. We played great. We found a way to win. That was all they said. That game against Calgary, JT Miller referred to that win as the bar. Anything less than that is not good enough. Now they know what they're capable of. They need to play like that every night here out if they're going to win and make the playoffs. That sentence made no sense whatsoever, but you know what I mean.
You got there.
I did get there. My brain had to catch up to my mouth.
Yeah, and I mean, that was that to me, like, I look back at that game. That was the best game so far this year, right?
Yeah.
Best, like, play, best, you know, show
best
of
jerseys.
Dominance. Best jerseys, everything. Like, it felt like that was the potential that the Canucks can reach when all of their players are going. And, you know, Jason Dickinson gets taken out of the game early on. They're missing a forward, and they still put out an effort like that against a team that's won what? They were coming in with 10 straight wins, or were they going for the 10th win? It doesn't really matter.
Ten straight wins.
That
was going to be their 11th.
You come in here, and you know, Vancouver just puts a whacking on them. It was good stuff, man. Like, through and through, JT Miller with 4 points, and I really liked the play of Höglander and Podkolzin. I know that Bruce Boudreau gave him some praise later on
Post-game.
It's kind of the final answer that Boudreau actually gave. But I liked those two. Basically liked everything about the Vancouver Canucks, like through and through. Like, what could you not like about that game? It was excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're writing an article right now that'll be up on Canucks Army when this podcast comes out. So you can go read that at CanucksArmy.com. I wrote an article at Canucks Army, but we'll get to it during my prospect report, which will come later in the show. It's prospect and goaltending together. So my two worlds are colliding. So we'll get to that. But there's one thing that I wanted to highlight about that game, Chris. And it was just that last show, you and I talked about Elias Pettersson being back. And you showed a little bit of reluctance to say that Elias Pettersson was back, and I honestly don't even blame you for that. I had the same reluctance earlier in the year, but I think now, 10 points in his last 4 games, are you ready to say Elias Pettersson's back?
Yeah, I liked it last night. I mean, still only played 17 minutes, but the top guys didn't get a lot of run in the last, you know, 10 minutes of play. But 17 minutes of ice time, almost 5 minutes power play time, scores a shorthanded goal as well. Like,
yeah,
just seeing Elias Pettersson get involved in a hockey game. Like, he put up 3 points yesterday, and that was great. But on top of that, it just felt like it did feel yesterday like we've seen one of those games where he, and it felt like a lot of Canucks took over, but Elias Pettersson was part of the takeover. Like, he wasn't just like an observer and just watching as the team went on and dominated. He was a big driving force of why they dominated. And that's the way that we see Elias Pettersson when he's playing his top potential. Yesterday, just, it was a good feeling. Just seeing, obviously the game was great, but to me, like, that was the biggest takeaway from the game, was seeing Elias Pettersson be back at that 100% where he's delivering, putting up 3 points, taking shots, being good defensively, getting time on the PK. you know, setting up his line mates, just everything. It felt like to me, it wasn't even really like the power play goal was the thing that like sealed it. And that's what my tweet was all about. But it wasn't just that sealed it. Like there was just play. Him driving play was what sealed it yesterday. It felt like that was a game where that needs earlier in the year. Trent Call said something about Jet Wu where he said, now that I've seen a game like that from him, that's the expectation moving forward. That example yesterday, like he's not going to score 3 points every game, but that level of effort and that level of driving play, that should be the expectation for Pettersson for the rest of the season. And he's going to have down games and he's going to have better games than that. But I feel like that's the expectation that you should have for a high end game from Elias Pettersson. And you want to have 50 to 60 high end games. If you're that good of a player and you're at Pettersson's level and level of potential, you need 50 to 60 of those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing that I noticed in Pettersson's game that made me kind of say, okay, he's for sure back. And I'm going to offer an alternate reality. And I'm going to offer the alternate reality of the goal that was scored shorthanded. When Pettersson intercepted a puck at the blue line, the Vancouver blue line, as the Flames were trying to break in, went the other way. If this is the start of the season, or even, hell, even a month and a half ago when we were seeing Pettersson play, he maybe breaks up that pass, but then he probably falls over and doesn't follow up on the play, right? This time, intercepts the puck, quickly gets up and goes the other way, takes the puck with him. In this alternate reality, say he even completes that much. In this alternate reality, he goes for the wrist shot, loses the puck, fans on the shot, something like that. In reality, Pettersson not only takes the puck away, skates up the ice, looks off Bo Horvat, who's trying to streak to be part of a 2-on-0. Pettersson just with all the confidence in the world, of the confidence that you would expect of somebody wearing a black skate jersey,
oh,
just head up, has the puck on a string, rips the puck far side on Dan Vladar, and makes that game 5-0, I believe.
I think the first thing you mentioned there was just the initial, this is what we didn't see at the start of the year, was the initial ability to handle that puck and change it from just a turnover into a turnover that got dangerous because he was able to handle the puck and burst out of the gate and be able to beat the defenseman who was in line with him at the time when he made the turnover. All year long, it felt like that situation, that's where he'd fumble the puck and the defenseman would be able to get a stick on him, but he, boom, picks it up clean, gets a strong 5-6 strides away to the center ice area where he's ahead of the defenseman. At that point, it was game on. And you mentioned it. Then you get to the point where he takes a shot and the confidence is already high with the kid who's been playing really good hockey of late. Yeah, this is the point where it's like you're at the end of the turn and you're hopefully about to see the next, you know, straightaway here for Elias Pettersson to put into sport mode.
Yeah.
Over his last, John Shorthouse would say.
Over his last four games, and I know he's not going to keep this up. Probably not. But over his last four games, he's producing at a 97-point pace. That's closer to the pace that fans are expecting of Elias Pettersson. I know those are lofty expectations, but that's what fans are expecting, right? And not that high necessarily, but at least a point per game, and that's not what he was doing earlier. So he has a serious chance to salvage this season.
13 points in his last seven. That's...
yeah.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Absolutely. And
it's 150-point pace.
Exactly.
Doing rough math there.
There you go.
150-point pace over his last seven.
And the other thing that I did notice on that 2-on-0 with Horvat, and I don't even want to call it 2-on-0 because Pettersson just shot the puck. Like, didn't even look to Bo. But earlier in the season, I think we may have seen Pettersson slow up and try and find that pass, and then he's telegraphing way too much what he's going to do. Defenseman's able to catch up to him. Dan Vladar is able to get set and know that the cross-crease pass coming, really dig that edge in and get across to stop Horvat. Maybe even bobbles the puck there. Like, those were the plays that we were seeing from Elias Pettersson earlier in the year, but this is the kind of play that shows he's playing with so much confidence that we saw in the first 2 years of his career, right? Where he has that confidence, just walk in, knows exactly where the puck is with his head up, and just absolutely rips the puck home. That's the kind of confidence you need to see from Elias Pettersson before you say something like he's back. And that's why I'm very comfortable saying now Elias Pettersson is in fact back.
It was good to see all the big guys get going. I mean, Garland had a nice goal as well. JT Miller with the 4 points. Who else had it? Bo Horvat had a couple. You know, lots of chatter about everyone getting traded here. But good performance from all the guys on the trade block, apparently. And then Dickinson leaves the game. And I don't know. There wasn't much of an update post-game, right? Like, it wasn't.
No. So Dickinson's going to go for screening today. Boudreau said of the hit from Eric Goodbranson that he didn't really think it was dirty, and he went into the boards awkwardly. I thought it was a little bit, no need to upend him, but I also think Goodbranson definitely thought that Dickinson was going to go slash at the goaltender because the puck was a little bit loose. So that's why Goodbranson kind of upended him. I thought it was a little bit dirty, like quietly dirty.
Just one of those plays that when you're that far away from the boards.
It was one of those plays, exactly. And it's not dirty in the sense of, oh, it should be a suspension. It was just like, it was after the whistle. Well, it was at the whistle, I think. And I don't know. I'm kind of with Boudreaux that it wasn't anything crazy, but definitely wasn't the cleanest play I've ever seen.
No. And I mean,
yeah. Dickinson will be updated is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't think it. Well, we'll see. It looked like it felt like a. Did he say arm? Did Boudreaux say arm in the post game?
No,
because it looked like a hip.
No, he didn't say arm.
Okay. I thought he said
just arm. Went into the boards awkwardly. That's all we know. He's going to go for screening today. We're recording this on a Friday. Going for screening. We should have an answer shortly. Canucks are going to practice tomorrow in New York. They had a travel day today. So no update on Dickinson at the time of this recording. But when there is one, best believe it'll be on CanucksArmy.com.
Yep, as per usual. Hey, big game Sunday against the Rangers here. You know? There's a big spot. Obviously, I think this is the spot that everyone's been looking at for JT Miller. I've been saying it for a while now. I still like the Kings. I like the Kings as a trade partner.
Well, the Kings got named by Elliot Friedman. So
yeah, I've been saying Kings are a better trade partner this whole time. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Sunday 4:30 game, right? It's an early one against the Rangers. They're a late one, I guess. There in New York, that's 7:30.
Yeah,
Ranger time.
Ranger
time. And. Yeah, it'll be. I think it's a showcase game coming off of 4 points for JT Miller, and I know that we'll get to that in our poll question. By the way, a new sponsor for the poll question,
Atlas Goods.
We're talking pork rinds, Quads.
We are talking pork rinds.
We'll talk about more in the when we do the poll question here. But
go
ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say you mentioned the 4.9 from JT Miller. We had an article run on Canucks Army this past week called 11 Assets the Toronto Maple Leafs Can Give Up for JT Miller, because apparently the Leafs are linked to JT Miller in some regard. They're really not that interested, I don't think. It doesn't sound like they want to give up much. Leafs fans don't want JT Miller. They're sending back his career points per game. Like, when did he get more valuable than Eichel and all this stuff, and like career numbers, not first line numbers, but you know, we pointed out that he's gotten more points than Mitch Marner in the playoffs, obviously, making like half as much as everybody on that Maple Leafs roster that the Leafs fans expect to score in the playoffs. They don't, but the ones they expect to score in the playoffs, making half as much. And Leafs fans don't want him. Leafs fans are like, you keep him. We don't want him here. So, okay, no problem. I just thought that was hilarious and had to point it out.
Yeah, you know what? I also have heard similar things about Rangers fans.
Yes.
About JT Miller, just because they have an idea of what JT Miller is.
Like, he's so lazy.
Because he played there, and it was, you know, it was something. Actually, Harm's talked about this a lot, because I know Harm had the story about JT Miller. But he was just saying that, like, you know, it is tough because there was a lot of learning done by JT Miller after he left the Rangers and was so young at the time. And yeah, the fans, that's why I don't think a lot of fans are very high on JT Miller in both those markets for similar reasons, just that they have an idea of this player that they're on the East Coast. They don't know, like, they're not staying up to watch these games, watch JT Miller when he's on. There's a reason why he's so high and up in scoring for the NHL, right? Like, I don't know. It just makes more sense to make this deal with the LA Kings.
Yeah,
if you're moving JT Miller.
And that's the thing is,
and let's not go deep here into that. We got a Miller chat on the other side.
Yeah, we've got a lot.
What else do you want to do first here?
Well, I actually did want to at least highlight Madison Bowie's article that he wrote on the Players Tribune. Really, really good article.
Maybe you can help me with this. How do they write these Player Tribune? Does a writer like get with?
Yes. It's not the players themselves.
Right, but I think a lot of this, you could obviously tell it came from Madison Bowie. He maybe didn't sit down and write the thing.
Yeah, sorry, I should clarify. It's not like they have like, for example, Luongo wrote the piece in the Players Tribune. Drance was behind that.
Yeah.
Drance wrote that.
Okay.
But they sit down with the player, and you know, maybe we'll have Tom on the show one time to talk about it.
Hello, thank you for calling Thomas Drance.
He never picks up.
Never picks up, but maybe one time he'll answer our call. And we'll talk to Tom about the process that goes into that, but I do know that he was the writer of the Luongo retirement article that he wrote. So, you know, Madison Bowie, I'm sure, had something similar. Again, it comes from the player, but, you know, the sentence structure and all that sort of stuff. Like, I'm sure it gets either cleaned up or written by someone else speaking through the player, right? If the player's speaking through that writer. So this was a really good article by Madison Bowie. I saw someone tweeted. Someone was like, this is better than anything anybody in the Vancouver media has written this season. And I was like, you know what? They might be right.
Probably, yeah.
They might be right. And that's no knock on the Vancouver media. I think it was just a really good article.
It was.
Excellent. It's titled, Hockey Has Always Been Black. You can read it on theplayerstribune.com. I retweeted it recently. I think you did as well, Chris.
And you don't have to pay for like The Athletic. This is free.
Just take a shot at The Athletic.
Just saying, it's free and it's a great article.
It is. It is a really good article. You know, he talks about an experience he had when he was playing high-level hockey in Edmonton Mall at the time, the little ice palace there. Huh. So he was talking, I think he was like 12 or something. I can't remember the exact age, he said. It was a 10 and under tournament, rather, I should have said. And yeah, just something a parent said to his dad. Because Bowie was the best player on the ice and that sort of thing. So, you know, he gives a little bit of a history into the game of hockey and the impact that the black community's had on it. The butterfly goaltending style is one of them that you rightfully pointed out, which is fantastic. I think I should dedicate a whole goalie segment to that, talking about how that started and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, like he said, it goes back at least as far as 1895, and he's got a lot to say, which is awesome. So
on top of that, the Canucks had a little roundtable video as well, and it was kind of interesting to hear the three players speak on what it's like to have three black players on the team and to see what it's like out there now. It's for like, it's something that they want to work on together, and it's, I think it's a really interesting spot because Justin Bailey's a guy who's, you know, very, very like confident and comfortable in front of the media and speaking what his thoughts are.
Yeah,
specifically on Abbotsford, like he'll give you straight truth out there in Abbotsford. Yeah. Bowie as well. Stevens, I haven't really dealt with a lot this year, so I can't really speak on how much he is, but Bowie's an excellent, I mean, these are three guys that I think want to be leaders in this department, and it would be excellent to have that happen out in Abbotsford. I think it's great, and I think this story by Madison Bowie is awesome. Like, it, man, it's so worth the read. I know maybe you don't, if you're listening to the show, maybe you're not a big articles person, maybe just like podcasts. I would take some, just a few minutes out of your day to read it. It taught me some things. It opened my eyes to certain things. It's totally worth it on the Players Tribune. Straight up, just go to Twitter and search up Madison Bowie, or go to Google and search up Madison Bowie. I'm sure it's the first thing that comes up. It's worth the time, even if you're not an articles person.
Yeah, really good article. And obviously, it's Black History Month. So we just wanted to highlight that because the Canucks celebrated it the other day with the... their jerseys. Those jerseys are so nice. And you know what? This just segues into a nice conversation.
Hold on,
because
this is the best warm-up / game-worn jersey combo in the history of hockey.
I kindly disagree.
What?
Yeah, I kindly disagree.
To what?
Actually, no. I was going to say the Lunar New Year ones. The ones you have with Erickson on the back.
Did I tell you I ordered another one?
Did you?
Yeah.
What is it?
Take a guess what player I ordered for.
Tyler Myers?
Yeah, I got a Tyler Myers Tiger Lunar New Year jersey coming in.
Well, those are nice too, but I really like the rat one because they used the skate logo, yep. Right? And they made it the rat. I like that one, but again, they wore it with blue pants. So you're probably right. The ones they wore with the black pants.
Not only in Canucks history, but I think NHL history. This is the best warm-up to game-worn jersey duo set you'll ever see.
Okay. I find it hard to disagree, actually. It was a very nice jersey. And it brings up a good conversation because a lot of people are talking about, okay, bring back the skate full time. I'm not in that camp, Chris. I say that the skate is nice in moderation. You don't want to lose the magic of the skate because it seems like the Canucks play great every time they wear it by making them go full time, especially when you have this team. I don't think it's a good move. But that black skate look with the orca, so similar to what they did with the Black History Month jerseys that they just wore. Obviously, they're not going to have yellow, red, and green in there. But the black orca looked pretty good. Like, blacking out the orca looked pretty good, I must say. So, you know, kind of rethinking the skate. Like, you make the orca jersey black. And you kind of go off that and see what you can come up with. Like, maybe even it's black with like some green tint. I don't know. I'm just spitballing, but I don't think bringing back the skate is the answer.
I think you keep the jerseys the way they are, but you I think you gotta bring the black back.
I think you bring back the black skate as a third jersey.
Yeah,
that's what I you think do. It's and you wear it like 20 times in a season or something. Ooh,
yeah,
well, not 20. I guess 20. You only play like 40 something home games, so no. Not
I'd
that.
Say I think you can max out at like 12 times.
Yeah, I think.
And
you're right.
Then I think what you do is you're down 0-2 in a playoff series. Boom.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're on the road. You're wearing the black skate. You wear the black skate when you need it, well, in the playoffs.
The NHL would care.
Well, yeah. No, you tell the NHL to shove it. You'll pay the fine. Francesco's got the money. He's throwing it around lately.
Yeah, he has been, actually.
Hiring on all these contributors at Canucks.com.
You want to talk about that? No, we haven't talked about it on the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was trying to hide it for a little bit, especially for a little bit. But and maybe I lied to everybody on Twitter and said I didn't get hired. I didn't get hired as a full-time job. A lot of people were asking that, too. Like, oh, congrats. Like, we're going to miss your work. Stefan, your freaking boy over there. He's like, oh, la-di-da. He's in tears over Twitter as he's typing up a thank you and thanks for the memories tweet that he sends out. I'm not leaving Canucks Army. He wishes. But it's going to be fun.
Stefan's licking his chops. Yeah. Wants those Faber paychecks.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's not getting that. Yeah, so I'm going to do some AHL stuff for them. I'm going to do some prospect stuff. Have some fun ideas that I pitched to them and the director of content over there at Canuck Sports and Entertainment. And yeah, they want to go forward with some of these cool prospect ideas. And like, you know me, I'm one of the top prospect guys in this market. Quads behind you, of course, right apparently. Yeah. Right behind you.
Yeah, so, Canucks have also approached me to write the same articles as you, but capitalize some more stuff and add emojis.
Yeah, they want to allow emojis in their articles for you. No, so yeah, there's going to be some cool things with prospects, especially like some overseas guys, and do some cool stuff with, hopefully, the Canucks scouting staff getting involved a little bit, hear what they liked from a player. I think that would be a really cool idea for articles. And then, obviously, some stuff about the AHL will be the consistent thing. So, yeah. Expect to see my name on some articles here and there on
congratulations. Canucks. I am really happy for you. Obviously, that's really
thank
cool.
Thank you, yeah.
That segues perfectly, actually, into our next conversation here. Overhaul in Abbotsford. That's what Satyar Shah is reporting. He's not reporting, I clarify with Sat, he is not reporting that they're going to change up the coaching staff immediately or anything like that. They are going to change the way they do things out in Abbotsford from a developmental perspective, and I think that's what you want to see. Again, Cammy Granato is going to be overseeing this department. She is going to be overseeing the amateur and pro scouting departments, I believe, and I believe Ryan Johnson is now reporting to her as well.
Hmm. See, that part I would find interesting if Ryan Johnson's reporting to her. I don't, from my understanding, Ryan Johnson is very happy. I don't know if happy is the right word. He's very invested into Trent Cole and the coaching staff that they have there. The players, they love Trent Cole. They love Gary Agnew. Like, you just hear the way that they talk about these players or these coaches. The players down in Abbotsford love these two guys, but we haven't seen a lot come through the pipeline. And I do think that a lot of it is to the degree of what we've seen be put into the pipeline. There hasn't been a lot coming out of it because there hasn't been a ton put into it. When you have so many players like Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson, Nils Höglander, Vasily Podkolzin, and Quinn Hughes, all these players go straight to the NHL, you are going to miss a lot of prospects in the AHL. They have prospects in the AHL now. Like Danila Klimovich, he's an NHL prospect. Jack Rathbone, he's an NHL prospect. Mikey DiPietro and Archer Seedlaw's NHL prospects. Like these, they now have a pipeline that is having things put into it. I don't think that they had a ton put into it before. And I think that Ryan Johnson wants to give this coaching staff a chance. Will the new regime think the same? I'm not so sure. And you mentioned if Cammy Granato is overseeing it and she has a better idea for something, there may be changes, but I'm pretty sure that Ryan Johnson, I feel like I don't know this 100%, but I... From people that I trust who have talked to me about the situation, RJ is pretty happy with moving forward with Trent Cole as the coach. He's not looking to make a change anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice that, you know, there's more collaboration now. Obviously, like I said, Cammy Granato is going to be overseeing player development, pro and amateur scouting. She's going to be involved with all of that.
And now there's no excuses either. They're in Abbotsford. They're down the road. They're not across the continent anymore. They're if they don't develop and do a good job over the next couple of years, then there could be changes. But
yeah,
I do think that they're wanting to rock with Cole. Like the players love Cole, man. The players really do love Trent Cole, and they love Gary Agnew, the assistant coach, Mackenzie Braid, the skating coach. They love working with it. There's like, and then the goalies, they love, like the staff that's down there is beloved. by all the players.
Yeah,
they
love gonna bring the group up Curtis Sanford there too.
Exactly. Like that's what I'm saying. All the coaches down there get very high praise from the players, but people looking at Utica over the past 2 years,
yeah,
they haven't developed enough for you to praise. So maybe now that they're in the backyard and they're getting more money put into them, you know, they have full-time scouting coaches, they have full-time analytics guys, video coaches. Now the expectations should be higher because maybe there wasn't even an expectation before, you know.
Yeah.
Before it was being run by Utica. Like it wasn't being run by the Vancouver Canucks. Now it's all in-house. Like,
yep.
The Canucks are running the show now. They're running the Abbotsford Center. They're running everything out there. So like I think that there has to be expectations moving forward, but I don't know if there was expectations over the past couple of years, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll cut to break. On the other side, we've got a poll question with a new sponsor, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about Abbotsford later in the show when I bring up my prospects report. Talk about goaltenders as well. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
And before we go any further into the episode, want to give a shout out to Parallel 49 Brewing. You guys can find Parallel 49 beer all across BC and Alberta. And right now we want to give a quick shout out to the Unparalleled Pack featuring four of the P49 favorites, the Trash Panda, the Filthy Dirty, the Jerkface 9000, and the Hillbilly Ninja. My favorite of the four there, the Jerkface 9000, the pink can. Something good about those cans there, Parallel 49. So go out and try them. You can find them in most liquor stores across BC and Alberta.
And a massive thank you to Parallel 49 Brewing Company. And folks, if you want to advertise with us, shoot us a message. We've got a new sponsor here, Atlas Goods. We're very excited. You can use the promo code CC15 to get 15% off your first order. These are so good. We absolutely love them. And it's our poll question. I'll bring up the poll question first. Talk about Atlas Goods.
Listen, man, I've had pork rinds before because every 2 or 3 years, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to try pork rinds. So I'd buy them in store and I would take two bites and I'd say, no thanks. I don't like pork rinds. But now these came and I was blown away. Okay, they show up in a big, huge bag with like 30 servings of pork rinds in them and you air fry them. I was blown away how little amount. I don't know. You did the same.
Yeah.
You put a handful down in there and it fills up the whole damn air fryer.
Yeah.
And when they're fresh, they are 100 times better than the pork rinds you get in a bag.
Like not even comparable. It felt like a different food.
And it was like, they're warm, but like crispy, like a chip. Oh, like, I don't know if you've ever been, not the way to talk about it, but like you go to a Mexican restaurant. And you get the fresh tortilla chips,
yeah,
and they're like warm.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of like what these pork rinds are. And you can make them in the microwave, make them in the oven. Apparently,
yeah, you don't need an air fryer. They were good in the microwave. My dad made them in the microwave, and he loved them.
Let me just say though, do it in the air fryer first if you got it. And then what you do after, you get some of the popcorn seasoning. This is a little. I don't even know if this is on the website or something, but you get some of that
going off the cuff.
Well, I'm just saying, you get some of the popcorn seasoning, white cheddar popcorn seasoning, or whatever you want, salt and vinegar, and you sprinkle a little bit of that on after it just comes out of the air fryer. This stuff blew me away. I had it all Super Bowl weekend, and they were excellent.
They're good.
Yeah, you can get 15% off with our order. They deliver within the same day delivery if you're in the Lower Mainland, but across Canada as well. All orders are free over $50. You can go to atlasgds.com and use our promo code CC15. We'll have more information on social media here, but super excited. They're going to sponsor the poll question for the next little bit here.
Yeah, we're super excited. And go check out Atlas Goods.
Listen, don't knock pork rinds until you try them like this when they're fresh.
Exactly. Because
they show up in their little pellets of meat.
Yeah. Don't expect it at all.
It looks like if you took scissors and cut a piece of beef jerky up
and
then air fried it. Yep. It's excellent.
Oh, it's so good.
You got to try this, people. Just try it. Believe me.
So go check it out. Atlas Goods.
You go to Colonel's, you get some white cheddar little powder. That's what I'm talking about right there.
All right. Episode 241 poll question now brought to you by Atlas Goods. Again, go check them out. Use promo code CC15.
Listeners of the show, too.
Yes. 15%
off. I hope that ad was okay. Email me there.
Yeah, we just went for it. So hope that ad was good with you guys. But fresh off another 4-point night, do you want to see JT Miller traded? You wrote trade, but that's okay. I didn't proofread this poll.
No, it's because I ran out of letters. I got exactly, was it 240?
Yeah.
I got 240 and I was like, I can make one spelling
mistake.
That's
fine. Yes. So the answer is yes, get a haul back. No, try to sign/keep him. And as always, I'm angry. Chris, right now, 71% of people saying yes, get a haul back. 22% say no, try to sign/keep him. And 7% say I'm angry. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I thought this was more just from the dialogue online. This is a good example of sometimes the loudest voices don't represent a lot of the voices, you know? Some people, there's a lot of people out there that don't want to trade JT Miller. It feels like it, but now we see the poll results here. Only what, 21%? 21% of people saying no? I thought it was more 50-50. I'm glad to see that the Canucks fan base, a lot of them understand what type of return JT Miller can get. Like, man, you think about the return that he can bring back. He can set up like multiple parts of this team moving forward. Like he can set up, maybe you lose your top line winger who's a point per game player. But now you have a top four defenseman. Now you have a third line center. Now you have a prospect who can somewhere fit into a top four or top six. That's a huge boost to an organization. If things hit and work out, and not even all the pieces need a hit. Let's say two of the pieces hit. You get a top four defenseman who can play with Quinn Hughes, a right shot guy. And then you also get, a third line center that is a trusty third line center who can give you depth scoring moving forward. You also have cap space to play with JT Miller, because listen, this year at $5 million, great deal. Next year at $5 million, excellent deal. After that, you're not getting the same value anytime when you're paying a player, let's say Miller somewhere into $8 to $10 million. You're not getting the same value on the contract like that. So to think that the return that you can get for JT Miller is so high, and it's 4.9 last night. It's getting higher by the day, it feels like, or at least maybe his value isn't going up in Canucks fans' eyes, but around the league, his value has to go up because they're obviously not evaluating him at what Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin want back. Because from all the reports we've heard, the asking price for JT Miller from the Canucks management is very high, as it should be. We're 4 weeks out, less than 4 weeks out from the trade deadline now. You should have a high ask for him at this point. 3 weeks from now, you get the final few days here. That's when you really start to say, okay, what's your final offer then? How close can you get to what we want? And then you see who gets closest, and maybe that's the move that you make at the trade deadline. Maybe you don't. Maybe you wait till the draft when 20 teams are in instead of maybe 7 or 8 right now.
This is a team, or this is a player, rather, excuse me, that is top 10 in scoring right now. Like top 10, Chris. Only Jim Benning could put together a team that has a player that is top 10 in scoring and is probably the best move to move him, even though he signed to a team-friendly deal for this year and next year. Only Jim Benning could do that. So I must say that I actually do see a little bit of value in keeping him. And maybe he's one of these players that ages like Joe Pavelski, and you don't want to give that kind of player up. Now, I understand that his next contract is going to be huge, but I know it's hard to predict, but do we see JT Miller slowing down anytime soon? I honestly don't know if I do, and I know age is against him here, but what if he's one of those players? I know you can't base your decisions for a million dollar organization based on what ifs, but man, like, I think when you give up players, the player you're hoping to get in return, if he becomes half the player that JT Miller is, that's a win, because you're also adding a first round pick and you're adding these other assets. But like, the player you're getting back, the chances of them being another JT Miller like impact player for you at any point in their career, it's pretty slim.
Yeah, it's to me, that's not all what it's about though. It's about,
you're right,
it's about flexibility with cap space. It's about, hey, if you trade that $5 million, can you eat a $5 million contract also at the draft so that you can get another first-round pick?
Yeah, you're right.
Like the Hurricanes did to get the first-round pick out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, there's so many options, not only in the return that you're getting, but the cap space gives you almost as much as well. Can you sign players on one-year deals with that cap space so that maybe you can flip at next year's deadline again and get more picks? Like, there's so much flexibility for not only trading Miller right now for what you get in return, because you're going to get prospects, you're going to get picks. It's going to be a great return. It's going to be exciting. And then you have $5 million that you're comfortable giving Brock Besser that deal moving forward, starting to have a conversation with Bo Horvat, you know, in July about what his next deal looks like. And I think you're getting him in a team friendly deal. And like I said, exploring free agency this offseason on some 1 year deals, because this is a very smart guy in Jim Rutherford who is going to be running this team as a president, down to Patrick Alvin as well, and obviously everybody in that management group, they can do some exciting things in free agency. Who did I talk about today? Max Domi. Down year for him. All we saw Bo Horvat just, you know, loving on Max, him loving himself some Max Domi the other day on Tim and Friends here on Sportsnet TV. You know, that's an option who you can probably get for cheap, and then explore some other, hopefully like Thomas Vanek type players that you can get on 1 year deals who can help playoff teams if you're not one next year. There's so many options if to move JT Miller, but going into next season with JT Miller on your roster, yeah, it makes your hockey team much better. But it doesn't, to me, it doesn't get you closer to a Stanley Cup. And that should be the ultimate goal. And that is
the goal.
For this management group and this president, they don't care about sneaking into the playoffs.
Yep.
They don't want the Cinderella run to be the Cinderella run that gets you into the playoffs. They want the Cinderella run to be when your team is good enough to get a playoff spot. And then you use the Cinderella run to get to the Stanley Cup final. That's when you want the Cinderella run. You don't want it to get to the playoffs. Because you listen, you only get one Cinderella run every, what, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, depending on your luck. Use that Cinderella run when you're in the playoffs already. Like, get your team to the point where they are a playoff team, then hope for some luck. Because don't hope for luck to get you into the playoffs. That gets you nowhere. That gets you in the mushy middle, and you don't want to be, that's the last place you want to be as a hockey team.
It's where the Canucks have been every year under Jim Benning,
basically. It is the worst spot to be. It's the worst spot to be.
Not good enough to make the playoffs, not bad enough to get high enough draft picks.
Man, you look at that 2023 draft, and it's just like,
heck, load up.
You're going to watch Matthew Wood tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Today on the episode, you're going to watch Matthew Wood. I'm going to see him next month. That's another example of a guy in the 2023 draft who's ripping it up. Like, there's so many good, talented players in this draft coming up, man. Next year, there's not a huge deal taking a step back next year, because it's the perfect year to take a step back. But what do I know? Huh? What do I know, Quads?
Lots. But you know what you don't know? Prospects. So let me talk prospects.
Oh, God.
Lucas Forssell, absolutely ripping it up. That's not actually my prospect report. Linus Karlsson, reportedly expected to sign with the Vancouver Canucks at the end of his SHL season. We don't know when that'll be because his team is very, very good.
I don't think he's coming to North America this year.
Okay, expand.
Okay, so their season ends on March 24th.
Yeah, March 24th.
March 24th, his SHL season ends. They got playoffs. They're probably going to go a month in. So we're talking end of April. World Championships in May. He's probably going to that for Sweden. He's not, I don't think, no matter when he signs, he's not coming over to North America, I don't think, this year. I think he comes in next year at training camp. And listen, if he wows enough, and Linus Karlsson has improved so much from the age of 20 to 21 and now 21 to 22 that it wouldn't shock me to see him wow again from the age of 22 to 23. He's going to turn 23 in November, I think, too. Mm. So he's a late birthday. He's 22, like freshly turned 22. He's going to come into training camp as a 22-year-old. This is the player that Jim Rutherford was just on radio last week talking about as the player that you would like to overseason in the AHL.
Yes.
They're going to get him over here next year, which is great news because he was on a 2-year deal in the SHL. They're going to have to pay a pretty penny because there's a transfer rule with the SHL where I forget the exact number. You're paying, I think, 6 digits to get this player out of his contract so you can come over here, which is good. Nice that the Canucks are willing to pay that money to the SHL. They could have waited another year, but to get him over here is a good move. This is a smart move from the organization, getting a player over here. Get him in the AHL, you know, get him to training camp, see how he looks in training camp, give him a game on Pettersson's wing in preseason because he's earned that. I think he's that type of prospect who's earned that. But he's going to be in the AHL next year. And I said it on the last episode. He's had to prove himself. He did it in the Allsvenskan last year. He's done it in the SHL this year. Now next year, he's got to do it in North America and it's going to be the AHL. If he looks good in the AHL, then he is 100% an NHL prospect because he's improved every year and he's shown well at every league that they've tasked him with dominating in. So come in next year. He's a right winger. Heck of a shot. Good release on him. He's going to get power play time. And we'll see. We'll see how he looks in the AHL next year. If he can keep up with the pace and the physicality, then, you know, they might have something in this kid.
Yeah. NHL future, you think? Just too early to say, right? Because I was asked about Clay Stevenson today. I'll talk about Clay Stevenson.
If you ask me, three prospects: Aiden McDonough, Linus Karlsson, Lucas Forsell. Like, right now, if I would say who could make like an impact on your fourth line, because I don't think any of these guys are top six players, mm-hmm. I think because of what he's doing at such a young age, my pick would be Lucas Forsell. Mm. But Linus Karlsson might, like, for NHL future, he might be ahead of Aiden McDonough.
So just to clarify, you say none of these guys are top six guys. You mean right now, not their future, none of them could be top six guys? Or is that what you mean?
I don't know. They would, you know, they would have to surprise me to become top six guys. I don't think the Canucks, I think the only top six, like, real NHL potential guy that they have might only be Danila Klimovich. That might be the only, but, like, honestly, like, and that's not even saying the, like, everyone's like, oh, you, like, look at the prospects that the Canucks have. I just put out an article the other day for Canucks Army saying prospects that I'm excited about. And they're all like, look, they're all just depth players. It's like, yeah, but you know what? Podkolzin's 20. Höglander's 21. Like, these guys are prospects too. Like, they're just, they're still so young in the AHL. I wrote this in the article that's going to come out today. The funny thing is, Nils Höglander and Vasily Podkolzin's combined age is still younger than three players who are in the NHL right now. If you combine their ages, they're still younger than Thornton. They're still younger than Chara. Like, that's how young these players are. Combining their age, they're still younger than some NHL players. So, like, I don't think people really, like, it's strange to me how they get dumped on sometimes. And Podkolzin doesn't really, because it's his rookie season. But mm-hmm. Nils Höglander, even though he's so young in his sophomore year, he's still getting dumped on a little bit. And it's like, man, he is nowhere near hitting the mountain of where he's going to reach for his peak potential. He's so far away from that. But yeah, I think I love the way that Lucas Forsell plays. I love that he's scoring goals. And I think he's got a motor, right? That's what you really like about him. Is that he plays the game at such a high level, at such a high speed, that's going to get him places. And the fact that he has a scoring touch, that's a good thing as well. But he's, I wouldn't say physical, but he's like, he's always, his, like, the way I can just say is, like, his motor's always going. Like, he is always skating as hard as he can and getting involved in plays. That's a really good thing to see from a guy who grew up as, like, such a skilled player in the junior leagues, that he actually has a high-end motor. That's what you should be excited for. So if you listen, I love McDonough as a prospect. I think there's a lot of exciting things. I think Karlsson has really impressed me this year, but out of the three, I would still say Lucas Forsell is the better depth prospect.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's 18 years old.
18. Lots of time to grow for all these prospects, right? So to close out here, I want to talk about Clay Stevenson, because today, and if you've been listening to the show for a while, you've probably heard me talk about Clay Stevenson. I've talked about the Coquitlam Express a lot. That's my team. That's my BCHL team. I don't have an NHL team. We're not supposed to have NHL teams, Chris. But my BCHL team is Coquitlam Express. You know, you're a Nanaimo Clippers fan. I got the Coquitlam Express, covered them in 1920. Very memorable season, and that was backstopped by Clay Stevenson, who I've talked about before. Goaltender playing with Dartmouth University right now. Or is it Dartmouth College? I don't know. Whatever it is.
I feel like it's college.
I think it's university.
You think so?
Yeah.
I can look it up. You keep talking. I'll jump in here.
Doesn't even matter. But anyways, Clay played in 1920 with the Coquitlam Express, 2019-20 season. He played with the Coquitlam Express. That was my first year covering the team, first and only, I should say. But it was a very memorable season when that all happened. So basically what happened with Clay Stevenson was he had played his first 2 years the Coquitlam Express, and he was good, but he wasn't great. And then in his third season, his 20-year-old season in 1920, when he was expected to be the guy.
It's a college, Dartmouth College.
There you go. When he was expected to be the guy, the number one netminder.
Yeah, just reading it for the first time. Dartmouth.
No, it's pronounced Dartmouth.
Put a dart in your mouth. Sorry. Okay, keep going. My
gosh. Good one.
Dartmouth.
Yes, Dartmouth. Dartmouth College he's playing for now. But in that third season, he was expected to be the guy in Coquitlam, right? And 10 days before the regular season was starting, into the preseason here, 10 days before the regular season started, his mother, Holly, who was a paramedic at the time, was struggling with her mental health, and she commits suicide. Clay found out about that from his younger sister, who showed up at his billet family's house, and she broke the news to him. His younger sister, again, he's the middle of three children, two sisters. So he got that news broke to him, and it was a really sad day. it was a really sad and hard time for Clay because his mom was very involved and was a huge supporter of his and just, you know, his number one fan, right? And that's really tough for anyone to go through, but especially a 20-year-old, right? And when that happened, basically, I was talking to current Express captain Ryan Tattle, who was a rookie at the time when this happened. And this whole story that I'm talking about right now is up now at CanucksArmy.com. I'd appreciate it if you gave it a read. It's a good one. But basically, the whole team went to his mom's funeral. Clay spoke, and then Clay went to their game that night. He obviously didn't play, but he was still there rooting for his boys, and he was there at the rink and, you know, didn't want to leave his team. So he was there. Then he comes out, gets a shutout in his return to play, and it was just, that was the launching point for Clay's season. Clay goes on to, no doubt, win the Goaltender of the Year award in the BCHL, wins Express Team MVP, was runner-up for the League MVP award, lost out to Kent Johnson. Everybody obviously knows that name, 6th overall pick by the Columbus Blue Jackets in the 2021 NHL entry draft. Again, Port Moody native. I think he scored 101 points or something like that in 52 games. Really good prospect in Kent Johnson, but that was who Clay lost out on, BCHL League MVP, if you want to know how good he was. In that year, the Express were a powerhouse and they were backstopped by Clay. Did not get to play, obviously, in the playoffs, unfortunately, because of the NCAA age rules. So that kind of sucked. But again, talked about that with Ryan Tattle, talked about that with Jacob Lazare, who I talked to for this story. And they both said, like, you know, Clay kept a good attitude through all of that, and he was still a good veteran voice, and he was still a leader on this team. So
who was the player you talked to?
Ryan Tattle.
Man. Hearing him talk about Clay was like how much of a leader and how like just impressed he was, like how it just felt like, did he say at one point that he was like a father figure to them?
He didn't say that explicitly, but he did say like, I don't think Clay knows how much of an impact he had on me and many other rookies. Cause like I said, Ryan was a rookie on that team and
he's a captain now.
Now he's the captain of the Express. And you know, he's doing a lot of good stuff himself. Like, you know, the Score for Cancer game is going to happen this Sunday at Poirier. You know, that's all Ryan's doing. Ryan's doing all that. And he actually is doing that for Greg LaPointe, who is, I believe, the leading scorer on the 1920 team, got diagnosed with cancer very recently playing. Wow. He's in the NCAA as well. I believe, I can't remember exactly what school he goes to, but yeah, Greg LaPointe was one of the leading scorers, if not the leading scorer, on that 1920 team. And, you know, he got cancer, and Ryan started this whole Score for Cancer initiative with the Coquitlam Express. So they'll be wearing special jerseys on that game on Sunday, and that's all Ryan Tattle's doing. So again, thanks to Ryan Tattle for speaking with me for this story, because it was he gave really good quotes. Like, you heard the interview. Yeah. Like you just said, it was really good. So that's all I just want to say. Canucks are interested in this prospect, as are many other NHL teams. Probably a long shot for the Canucks to land him, but they are interested, and I'm very close to this situation, so I just wanted to at least talk about this because, you know, the opportunity to work with Ian Clark, I don't know Clay extremely well, but I do know he has good work habits, and I do know that he would probably
a kid who worked out around BC in the offseason. Obviously, you know, that's the type of thing where I guess Ian Clark wasn't around the offseason, but he'd probably hear around. It's just the goalie community is small, right?
Yeah. Clay knows who Ian Clark is.
I'm sure Woodley's given him a blocker over the years or whatever it is. Frick, you hear Woodley Thursday on the broadcast?
No.
At one point, oh yeah, you're at the game. So Murph's like, 30 seconds, Woodley. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, right. Woodley has to answer a question in 30 seconds. Sorry, go on.
And how'd it go? Did Woodley handle it okay?
You could tell he was like, he was talking and he had a good pace. And then there was about 20 seconds in, he started talking really fast. He tried to get his little points. He's like, and then the pads, the white piping on the outside. Like, it's like, hey, shut up, Woodley. You got freaking too in depth on the stupid goalie pad stuff again. No, it was a fine hit.
Good for Woodley. Get a nice haircut.
Yeah.
Regardless, just want to bring that up. Canucks are interested in this prospect. Keep an eye on it.
What do you think? Do you think like kids from the BCHL, would Vancouver be a team that, because he's obviously playing at Dartmouth over in the East, so there's probably a lot of teams that are interested in him, like the Bostons and New Yorks, the regular, the people that, because listen, I don't think a lot of people understand how many prospects that are like top NCAA prospects have gone to either Rangers camp or Bruins camp. They always go to these prospects camp. Next time you see a prospects camp list come out in the offseason, look at the Rangers and look at the Bruins and look how many unsigned NCAA players they have. It's a ton. So like, I'm curious, do you think because of his, you know, where he grew up, where he played minor at junior hockey, like would the Canucks be actual front runners, do you think, on a situation like this?
I don't want to say front runners because I think, you know, I'm probably going to be the person that people are expecting to be closest to this situation. So I want to be careful with what I say. I don't want to say they're front runners because Clay has a lot of options, including
staying. They're serious contenders, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the Canucks are going to make a serious offer. But Clay still has to decide. He hasn't decided yet, as far as I know, if he wants to finish his degree. He's at an Ivy League school and he's on a scholarship. So, you know.
You know what? A good school, too. You know who an alumni of Dartmouth is?
Who?
Dr. Seuss. The writer, the Dr. Seuss, the author and illustrator.
Thanks, man.
You know who else?
Who else?
From The Office, Mindy Kaling. Is that how you say
it? Kaling.
Kaling. She's a Dartmouth alumnus.
Dartmouth.
Dartmouth.
Also, someone pointed out the way you say bagels.
Okay, I'm
crazy.
Not saying that word because I think
bagel. You say bagel.
Bagels.
Bagels.
What's wrong with that?
Bagel.
Bagels.
No. There's a hint of it in there. Bagel.
No, I don't want to say it anymore.
Say it again.
No, I'm not saying it anymore. I'm not buying them anymore. I switched to English muffins. That's all I'm doing now.
Just to avoid saying it.
Meryl Streep, another alumnus.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're done. We're done looking up Dartmouth alum here.
Let me see if I find one more, I'll give
this
you one.
This is so off the rails. I don't even know how we got on this topic.
Oh, it's good. You're the prospects guy. You can carry this segment.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these other people.
Regardless, that's all I wanted to say. Clay Stevenson, linked to the Canucks and many other teams. We'll close it out there, though. Do you have anything else to add to my
Dartmouth
prospect report?
Dartmouth is so old. This is like a your mom joke. Dartmouth is so old that one of their alumni's photos is like a painting of the dude. A lot of them are just like pictures of them out and, you know, when they're getting, you know, photos taken of them. This is like a painting of a person.
Okay, can we close it out, please?
No, there's you're going to watch a prospect tomorrow night too.
Yes,
big name,
Michael Wood. What's his name?
Matthew Wood.
I'll see him.
Good Victoria kid.
Yeah, I'll be
went
able to see him.
Same high school that I did.
Wow.
Nanaimo District Secondary School. I'm going to go watch him next month, too. I'm going back to Nanaimo, so.
That'll be good.
A weekend off. You're going to have you and Josh are going to be on the radio show together that weekend.
Oh, you're leaving?
Yeah, the whole weekend.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, if Josh starts pulling this mayonnaise on steak talk that he brought last time, kick him out.
Yeah, I might have to. All right, we'll close it out there. For my co-host, Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.